If any man should propose to you the question, how the name Antoninus is written, would you utter each letter with a hoarse roar? What then if they grow angry? Will you be angry too? Will you not rather run through the sequence of letters with composure? Just so then, in this life, also remember that every duty is made up of various actions. These it is your duty to observe, and without being disturbed, or showing anger towards those who are angry with you, to go on your way and finish that which is set before you. How cruel it is not to allow men to strive after the things which appear to them to be in their own interests and profitable to them. And yet in a way you do not allow them to do this when you are vexed because they do wrong. For they are certainly moved towards things because they suppose them to be in their own interests and profitable to them. But it is not so. Teach them, then, and show them without being angry. Death is a relief from sense impressions, from the pulling of the strings that move the appetites, from the discursive movements of the thoughts, and from service to the flesh. It is shameful for the soul to be first to give way in this life, when your body does not give way. Take care that you are not made into a Caesar, that you are not dyed with this dye, for such things happen. Keep yourself then simple, good, pure, serious, free from affectation, a friend of justice, a worshipper of the gods, kind, affectionate, strenuous in all your proper work. Strive to continue to be such as philosophy wished to make you. Reverence the gods and help men. Life is short. There is only one fruit of this earthly life, a pious disposition and social action. Do everything as a disciple of Antoninus. Remember his constancy in every act which was conformable to reason, and his evenness in all things, and his piety, and the serenity of his countenance, and his sweetness, and his disregard of empty fame, and his efforts to understand things, and how he would never let anything pass without having first most carefully examined it and clearly understood it. And how he put up with those who blamed him unjustly, without blaming them in return. How he did nothing in a hurry. And how he did not listen to tittle-tattle. And how exact a judge of people's manners and actions he was. And not given to criticizing people. Nor timid, nor suspicious, nor pretentious. And with how little he was satisfied in matters of lodging, bed, dress, food, servants. And how hard-working and patient, and how he was able to keep going until the evening, on account of his sparing diet, not even requiring to relieve himself by any evacuations except at the usual hour, and his loyalty and consistency in his friendships, and how he gave full freedom of speech to those who opposed his opinions, and his pleasure in being put right. And how religious he was, without being superstitious. Imitate all this, that you may have as good a conscience when your last hour comes, as he had. Return to sobriety, and come back to yourself. And when you have roused yourself from sleep, and have perceived that they were only dreams which troubled you, now in your waking hours, look at these things about you as you would a dream. I consist of a little body and a soul. Now to this little body all things are indifferent, for it is not able to perceive differences. But to the understanding those things only are indifferent, which are not the works of its own activity. And the works of its own activity are in its power, though of these only those which are done with reference to the present. As to the future and the past activities of the mind, these are also for the present indifferent. Neither the labour which the hand does nor that which the foot does is contrary to nature, so long as the foot does the foot's work and the hand the hand's. In the same way, to a man as a man, the pain of his labour is not contrary to nature, so long as he does the labour of a man. And if the labour is not contrary to his nature, neither is it an evil to him. As for pleasure, how many pleasures have been enjoyed by robbers, catamites, patricides, tyrants? Do you not see how handy craftsmen will accommodate themselves up to a certain point to their clients, who are not skilled in their craft? Nevertheless, they cling to the reason, the principles of their art, and do not endure to depart from it. Is it not strange if the architect and the physician shall have more respect to the reason or principles of their own arts than man to his own reason or ruling power, which he holds in common with the gods?